area. It's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And now, here's your host, Eric Jackson.
All right, good afternoon and happy Tuesday to you. I'm your host, Eric Jackson, and welcome to Let's Talk. Well, nothing is off limits, and anything on your mind, we can talk about. And today is a beautiful day, and we're going to sit back and we're going to have a good conversation. The topic today is crabs in a barrel. Now, for the older folk, or old school folk, I'm not going to say older, for the old school folk, we all know what that means. But for you young individuals, we'll explain that in a minute. Now, if you want to join in the conversation, you can dial in at 347-838-8622, or you can hit me at ericletstalk@gmail.com, and I do have my chat room open. So if you don't feel like calling in or sending an email, we can chat while the show is going on, and 15 minutes after if you like. So with that being said, let's talk. Now today, as I said, our topic is crabs in a barrel. Now when I say crabs in a barrel, anyone, especially who lives on the East Coast, you already know that when you're doing crabs in a barrel, every time you try and pull one out, once the other ones try to keep it in. And believe it or not, the same thing happens in society. Okay, I do apologize for that. For some reason, I keep losing my connection today, which is not a good thing at all. I don't know. I guess somebody don't want us to talk about crabs in a barrel. But you know what? We're going to talk about it. If I have to keep reconnecting, then that's what we're going to do. So with that being said, let's get back to what I was talking about. Now, crabs in a barrel. And, you know, most of us know someone who is always jealous of somebody else once they get promoted. You know, on the outside, you in their face, you're saying, well, you deserve it, good job. But as soon as you get behind their back, first thing you say is, I don't know why she got promoted. Hey, you know she ain't doing nothing but sleeping with so-and-so, or she really don't know her job. She just did it because she's been here longer. Well, really? Why are you so jealous of that person or envious of that person? Why can't you just be happy for them, and you work harder trying to get to that spot, to that same place, higher. It's, you know, it's amazing what happens. And we just talking about individuals. You know, one-on-one, you know, your fellow man, your fellow sister. So why are we going through this? Why? You know, and I really want to hear some... I really want to hear some comments from my listeners today. I want to hear some comments from my listeners today on this thing of crabs in a barrel. Okay? So once again, I do apologize for these technical difficulties that I was having. Hopefully, I got it straight now. Now, crabs in a barrel is a term, like I said, that was used to express today's society. Okay, and because society today is indeed selfish and ruthless and undermining, you know, every time somebody's trying to advance, you know, there's someone else trying to hold them back, him or her back. I mean, it has no. And the thing about this is it is not specific to any gender at all. And, you know, we just have to figure out what's going on. We need to stop it. But although, you know, most of us know about, you know, individual people, I want to kind of branch out a little bit with this subject. You know, because there's something else that happens with our own community that I'm sure we never really pay attention to. And every time it happens, you know, first thing we say, well, I know it wasn't going to work. Well, why wouldn't it work? Because it's like we're crabs in a barrel. Every time somebody try to get up and do something good, the rest of us, some of us, don't want to see that happen and just pull it down and pull them back down into the group. And in some places, it's more prevalent than others. Now, so how can we stop this? How can we stop this from happening? Or is it just a part of the human spirit? Is it just something that's built inside of us that makes us want to keep someone down until we get higher? Or is that being competitive? Is that being called competitive? I'm curious. I mean, if it's making us more competitive for each other, then why are we trying to hold each other down? You know, we should be striving to get to that next point before the other person without having to pull them down. Or do we look at it another way? Is it envy and jealousy? And if it is envy and jealousy, is that something that helps us become stronger individuals, no matter how the obstacles are when they are placed in front of in our way? You know, and that is what I'm trying to get at. You know, crabs in a barrel, that's something serious. Most people don't realize how much damage we do acting like with crabs in a barrel. No, but we're going to really get into this, and we're going to branch out a little bit on this. Like I say, that was just the individual part of it. But I want to talk about our communities and our businesses within our community, because crabs in a barrel also pertains to that. Now, right now, some of you are not agreeing with me, but hopefully once I get finished with today's show, you're going to realize that, yes. So once again, I would like to have your input on this as well. So once again, if you want to join in, you can call at 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. And I do have my chat room open. So we have many ways for us to communicate. Thank you for listening to Let's Talk, and I am your host, Eric Jackson. Now, today's topic is crabs in the barrel. And like I was just saying, you know, we want to talk a little bit about a bigger picture. Now, right now, we're just talking about individuals. Well, we know in the business world, it's every man for himself, basically. And some people actually take that more literally than need be. But that's fine. Okay, we know that happens. So, you know, we are ready for that. But what about our businesses in our neighborhood, in African-American neighborhoods? What about those businesses? You know, many of our businesses, you know, they fail. And why do they fail? Because we refuse to support our own. Why is that? Now, you may ask, well, is this an example of crabs in the barrel? Or is it just a lack of support because of other reasons? Actually, I think it's more crabs in the barrel and then lack of support. You know, because it only takes one, whether you believe it or not, it only takes one to start a bad rumor. Just like it only takes one to start a rumor, period. Whether it's good or bad. And it just spreads. So whether that's about a business outside our community or our own businesses within our community. In a lot of cases, one person gets mad, and then next thing you know, they're bad-mouthing the businesses in our neighborhood. So that's a classic example of crabs in a barrel, because they weren't satisfied. Now, everybody shouldn't be satisfied or shouldn't support that African-American business. And a lot of our businesses, that's why they don't thrive in our neighborhood. And let's just be honest. Are you aware that during a five-year period between the years 2002, 2007, ownership in African-American businesses increased by 60.5% over a five-year period now, meaning during this time, 1.9 African-American businesses were started. That's astounding. That's over 50%, people. Increase of African-Americans starting their own business. Now, I know you're saying, well, that's 2007, 2002, 2007. What about 2012? Well, right now, the stats aren't out on 2012 because they only collect these stats every 5 years. So while those are still coming out, I'm sure it may not be that high anymore. If it is, the majority of them aren't around anymore. Even though it is 60.5%. How many do you really think lasted this long? I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. You know, now compared to an Asian American, you know, who's during the same period of time now, their ownership increased 40.4%. Okay, 1.5 million Asian Americans owned business during the same time period. Now, we have more growth and we have more people owning during this time period. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Now, here's where things really begin to show what's really going on. During that same time period, African-American-owned businesses only made $137 billion. Now, I know y'all say some of that is a lot. That's a lot of money. But the Asian-American business made $506 billion. But we had higher growth. More people owning businesses. But yet, we're not pulling in the finances. We're not supporting our businesses. So why do you think there's such a big disparity during this time period? And like I mentioned, when the studies come out and statistics finally get written from 2007 to 2012, what do you really think it's going to look like then? No, is it because of location? Or is it a lack of finances? Or just plain a lack of support? No, what do we have to do to stop this crab in a barrel syndrome? What do we have to do instead of trying to keep our businesses from flourishing to help support our business, get our business to last and grow? Did you know majority, over 50% of African-American business, they make less than $50,000 a year in their businesses? That's right, $50,000. That is a very low number to be a business owner, even for a small business. Now, some of you saying, well, it's the economy, and it's that, and it's this. Well, you know what? Maybe. Maybe. But aren't you a part of the economy? Aren't you? Aren't you living in that community? So, if it's the economy, why are you taking money out of our neighborhoods somewhere else? Now, I understand, you know, some places don't have the big grocery stores, African-American-owned grocery stores, you know, and really, if you really look at it, you know, lately we barely have a corner grocery store owned by African-American anywhere in the neighborhood now. And the reason is because we weren't supporting them anyway, so they sell out. They sell their businesses to someone else. But once it goes to someone else, all of a sudden, we can support that business. So now we done pull that other person back into the barrel, into the fold with the rest of us. Now, once again, they're trying to get out the barrel just like we are. So we all in there scrapping again all together. Now, I may be wrong, and if I am, I wish somebody tell me. Doesn't that seem like a crabs in the barrel syndrome? Doesn't it? We aren't talking about the individuals. We're talking about as a community right now. A community. So why can't we stop this? No, it hasn't been going on so long to it's just a part of our flow. It's just a part of what we do. Is it? Help me out here. Help me out. Because the way I see it, you know, we're not doing ourselves any favors. We're not. So and where aren't we? You know, and success of African American businesses, you know, isn't great at all from the start. You know, we have a higher failure rate than any other group that owns businesses. And I'm talking about business that's right there in our neighborhood. You know, not to mention the businesses that, you know, are mobile. So why can't we patronize some of these businesses? Oh, because maybe the prices are too high? Is that what it is? Or they never have anything you need? Well, I understand. Now, some of them out there, yes, they're not providing the service, the quality of service that you require or that you want. Well, if that's the case, are you letting this be known or are you just going and bad-mouthing them? Because they didn't do what you thought they should do. Now, if you've given them chance and then they still haven't done it, then okay, fine. That's all good. But what about the ones that do a good job for you? You know, are you recommending those people? Are you? See, that's another question that has to be asked. You know, we quick to badmouth, but are we as quick to recommend our African-American-owned businesses? Oh, heck, I'm going to say our black-owned business. Are we? In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. But what can we do to change this, people? No, this crab in a barrel syndrome is not good at all for any of us. Any of us. You know, we'll go out there and we'll run all over town. Run all over town trying to find hair. And y'all know what I'm talking about. For those who don't, we run all over town trying to find weed. Now, and here's the interesting part about it now. When this same store, weave store, or hair store, or beauty supply store was owned by an African American, you didn't want to go in it. So the owner sells out to an Asian American. And then what happens? All of a sudden, you can't stay at the store because they got the best deals going. Really? So once again, you done helped pull one of our own back into the barrel. But at the same time, another group's crab is out of the barrel now. Am I making sense? Or I'm just talking rhetoric? And another thing, we have a problem with helping each other. We do. We have a serious problem with helping each other. Take, for instance, the Asian American. And yes, I'm using Asian American today, because American today, because they are a prime example. You know, if you look on almost every corner or major part of town, and sometimes even cross the street from other, there's two or three nail salons, beauty supply stores. And who's running them? And we're in there faithfully. We're in there faithfully. If not once a week, two times a week, or two times a month, you know, some people go every week. And we faithful with that. But what about the individual that had a nail shop in the community that we didn't support? So the prices had to be higher than normal so they could meet their overhead. And but the only thing you think about, well, the prices are just too high. You know, and I don't know. Does anybody else see anything wrong with that? I wish somebody would call and talk to me about this, because it's really something that bothers me. Once again, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call it 347-838-8622. Email me at ericlesstalk@gmail.com. And I do have my chat room open, so we can chat as well. No, and today's, I'm your host, Eric Jackson. Today's topic is crabs in a barrel. And we're basically concentrating on businesses in the African-American community owned by African-Americans. I know, you know, I start off talking about individuals, but we have to include these businesses in there. You know, growing up, when I was a kid, we had a corner store owned by Mr. Williams. And that was the only store in our neighborhood. But everybody went there. Everybody went there. You know, and if he didn't have something, if you mentioned it, he would get it. He would get it. You know, and it was so community-oriented, he knew everybody that came in, from the children to the adults. And yes, there were times when you went in there and you didn't have any money, he put it on credit for you, put it in his little book. At the end of the month, you go and say, well, how much is my tab? And you pay it off. But at the same time, we were still supporting Mr. Williams. Yes, we were. And he had a pinball machine. That's all it was, a pinball machine. I know some of you remember the pinball machines. If we weren't buying anything, we was back there playing the pinball machine, get hungry, buy a penny cookie or a penny candy. But we supported back then our people in our neighborhood. You know, we had a barbershop we used to go to on Kings Road in Jacksonville, Florida. You know, and that was owned by, you know, African American. But once again, it was popular. So why is it such a problem now? Are we that advanced? In the meantime, you know, are we so advanced now that we don't have to do that? I'm just asking, because I'm curious about that. Or do we have that many new options now to where we can afford to not support our own? It's just amazing to me. I'm just asking. Because I want to really know. How do we stop this crab in the barrel syndrome? Now, how do we stop bad-mouthing our own businesses or our own people? Now, I understand some of you say, well, you know, we get better service outside our community. Okay. So how do you fix the service you get within your community? How about communicating with the owner of the business? I'm sure they're willing to listen and do everything they can to make you a happy customer. But you just get mad and you walk out and say, I'm never going back in there again. Of course, that's your choice. That is your choice. But at the same time, you know, you slowly pulling that crab back in that's trying to get out. Then they made it to the rim, but he trying to get out, but, you know, you got a hook on one leg. And probably somebody else got a hook on the other leg because they ain't going back up in there. Now he's slowly getting pulled back down. When we should be trying to push him on out so he can make an avenue so we can come and join. You know, and that's the thing about the Asian community, especially. If you notice, soon as they get one shop running, they branch out. And the people they branch out to are the same ones that was working in the shop that you used to go to. So now, before they leave, they tell you, well, I'm getting a new shop over in so-and-so. They tell you this. And what do? As soon as you open, what do? You got to go and see that person because that's the only person you want to do your toes, your nails, or your hair. So why can't we do that for our own communities, businesses in our community? Now, the only business that I can say that is really supported in our community is the beauty salon. And that's just because everybody can't do our hair. However, you know, some of us, I tell you, boy, we something else. We never satisfied with anything. Now, in the community I live in, you know, we have a mixture of everything, everybody. You know, but you can tell who's working, who's being supported, and who's not. Because you see them open up one day, then you may go back a couple of weeks later and it's closed. Even if it's the only place in town that has that product, we just will not support it. Well, their price is too high. But you go somewhere else to a name brand store and pay almost twice as much for that same thing. But you don't worry about it being too much then. I know it's many of you out there disagreeing with me, but that's okay. I want you to disagree. But call and tell me why you disagree. Don't just sit there at your desk or listening to me and just shake your head to my, nah, you're not saying. Tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me, because I want to know. Because as I see it, we could have a network just as strong as the Asian American network. As soon as they come from overseas, they already got a plan set up. They already have support. And yes, believe it or not, they support their own. If they work in, now, I'm telling you what I see around here. If they work in a nail shop, however, and others have a restaurant, so they go from that nail shop, where you think they're going? To the restaurant owned by the same people. So the money is staying within their community or their cycle. Heck, even if we did, you were like, nah, I got to go so on. Unless you can get the hookup, as you say. And why do we always need a hookup? You know, the hookup is basically one of those things that leave crabs in the barrel. Because as soon as you don't get that hookup that you think you deserve, then you bad-mouthing the business or the person that don't give you the hookup. So then what? Once again, you pulling that crowd back in that's trying to get out for freedom. And the bad part about it is most of you aren't trying to do anything anyway. You just got a problem because somebody else is doing it and you not. Listen to what I said. You are not. I didn't say you weren't able. I said you were not. It's a difference. But you so busy trying to keep them other crabs in the barrel, you missing your opportunity to get out there and be free. And that's a fact. That is a fact. You may not look at it that way, but it is. It's a fact. That's what happens. So now you doing all this, business, no businesses are surviving in your neighborhood, then you happy then. You happy. Why? You know, the same thing with corner stores now. Remember I just told you a story about the corner store in my neighborhood when I was growing up. Well, now if you go on any corner store in the neighborhood, in the hood, who owns these things? Pakistani, Indians, Asian Americans. How often do you see African Americans now? And be honest with yourself. I think about that. How often do you see that? Now, okay. And it's so bad, it's beginning to, when you go into hotels now, that's what you see. You know, especially them the little hotels, you know, that y'all know them little hotels I'm talking about. So what is happening to our businesses? I'm going to tell you what's happening. We too busy pulling them back in. Soon as they get out a little bit, you know, start easing toward the rim, we yanking them back. Yes, we are. As a community, as a people, we are hindering ourselves. Hey, it is what it is. I know some of you are like, nah, you wrong. That's not the way it is. But yes, it is. Just look around you. Look around you. You know, even in where I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, I remember as a kid, we'd go down any street and be African Americans out there selling crabs and shrimp and what have you. Or you go to the store and it's owned by African Americans. Or you had a vegetable man coming down the street. And you can hear him a mile away. Watermelon! Watermelon! No, it got so bad. Yeah, they don't even do that anymore. No, that's gone. Then you go in the crab shop where you can get you some good garlic crabs and some oysters and what have you. That's owned by Asians, Indians. So where's the support for our people in our neighborhoods? Where is it? Now, I know some of you say, well, it doesn't matter because I've been going to the same store for years. So if they just change ownership, they just change ownership. That's fine, too. But what about our neighborhoods, our communities? What about them? If we were to support our own, it wouldn't be so much change when it comes to ownership in our community. You know, we help each other. If we start helping each other instead of trying to pull each other back, things will be a lot better in our community. Crabs in the barrel. Crabs in the barrel. Always trying to pull each other back. Yes, we are. And yes, this includes businesses, believe it or not. A lot of people say, well, that's just on the individual level. No. It pertains to our neighborhoods, our businesses. That's what we do. Now, you know, it may be not as prevalent or as noticeable as some would think, but it's there. If you really sit back and think about it, it is there. We do it on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Once again, if you want to join in the conversation, you can dial in at 347-838-8622 or email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. And I do have my chat room open, so if you feel like chatting, feel free. Please feel free. I thank you for listening to Let's Talk, and I am your host, Eric Jackson. And today's topic is crabs in the barrel. And I'm basically concentrating on businesses in the African-American community. And there's a reason why I'm doing that, because our businesses now are like almost non-existent. They are non-existent. Where are they? No, and then if you find one, they tuck back in such a small spot or corner. Then, I mean, we can't. See, I'm just at a loss for words right now thinking about that. We have to do better. We do. We have no problem supporting others. Now, once that crab is out the barrel, you know, we don't have anything to do with that. I mean, we good. We feeding it, you know, showing, giving it the right road to go down. Oh, we helping. But when it comes to our own, shoot. And even if it does get out the barrel, some of you give it the wrong road to go down just to see it fail or get caught up by a big fish. That is true. That is true. And that's part of the crab in the barrel syndrome. It's just that simple. If you sit back and think about it. You really sit back and think about it. When was the last time you went to a corner store in your neighborhood or a friend's neighborhood and you seen an African-American behind the counter running it, or actually owning it, not working there, just owning it? In the hair stores, you can't say that because the Asians own it, but they have African-Americans and they're running it. So we went from owning stuff that is for us. Listen to what I'm saying now. We've gone from owning a store with items in it that are for us to working for somebody else who have no idea what we require as far as maintenance for our hair, nails, and what have you. How much sense does that make? How much sense does it make? Not much, does it? But we're so happy with that. We don't worry about it. You just know you can go there and get that real hair, that human hair, or that horse hair, you know, or the what the nails call, the extensions, you know, and the bat eyelashes. That's all you care about. But when it was in the neighborhood, you wouldn't go into a store like that. You wouldn't. They too high. But you're paying more in this other store than you was paying in the hood. And you know, and I know some of you be like, well, when they in the hood, they have all kind of people hanging around outside and blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? Most of them people hanging outside, probably some of your kids. So which means you have no idea where your child is, except for hanging outside a store, running business off. So that's part of the crab in the syndrome, crab in the barrel syndrome as well. I'm just putting out some ideas out there. No, this is all my opinion. But that's, I really feel about this, passionate about this. And you should feel something about it too. Because our neighborhoods, we are no longer, we are losing our neighborhoods because of this. We are, if we haven't already lost them, let alone talking about businesses. That is definitely not a good thing. But we refuse, we really do refuse to help each other. We quick to tear each other down, but we just won't help each other. Somebody please call me and tell me why is that? Why do we go through this? Have we become that advanced to where we don't need to do that? I mean, please help me, because something is lacking, and we need to stop this crab in the barrel stuff. Now, I can't really speak on other cultures, except for what I see. But I can tell you the Asian American community, they do take care of their own. From the beginning to the end. Even if they have to send them back, because their work visa has expired, they send them back long enough to where they can get enough time gone and they come back, but they have others filling in. But we just don't want, we can't even get nobody to stay there to keep a business open because we won't do anything. And I'm just perplexed at this. So what I want to know is, what can we do to change this trend? What can we do? How can we change this trend? Is there any way? Or will it take someone who may have won the lottery to build a business in our neighborhood that we'll support? Or better yet, somebody famous. You know, that's a shame. Even some individual African-American business that owned by athletes, movie stars, they're not even surviving in our neighborhood. And that's name recognition. Because once again, like crabs in a barrel, we just not going to support it. We aren't. And like I said before, it's not anything that's new. It's not anything new. This hasn't just started. It's been gradually getting worse and worse. No, it's been getting worse and worse. So how can we fix this in our communities? I really, really would like to know. How can we fix this in our communities? We work hard for our money, but we take our money and take it outside of our communities, way outside our community. Because we don't want that one crab to get out. So we go somewhere else. And I see I do have a caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon. I've been listening to you for a little bit, and I think that you are focusing more on the symptoms of a problem, not really the crux of the issue. People talk about crabs in a barrel and all that, but I don't. It's not really. It's symptom of the problem. I mean, we can talk about, you know, black businesses and all this stuff, but honestly, we're not going into business and things that we actually need. But if you see things, as I've seen quite a few businesses for things like grocery stores, my children go to an African-centered school, clothing, African attire, different things that we actually need and use. Those businesses do just as well as everybody else's businesses, and they go and they have their fluctuations with the economy, just like everybody else. But it ultimately comes down to your customer service and the products that you offer. So I think that it's not an issue where we're not supporting our businesses or. I think that I don't think we're doing the things that we really need to do. I mean, how many black engineering firms do you know of, or CPA firms, or tax firms? And by the way, I mean, I have a black accountant, and she's been in business for 20 years. She has her own branch, but she has a tax and accounting service. But right. and she's doing just fine, because that is a vital function in our community. So, but if you want to open up a store where you expect me to come buy clothes every week and then complain that you get shut down, I mean, only thing that you're doing is, you know, most of the businesses that we get into, we spread materialism and the same bad habits that we really should be discarding ourselves of, or purging ourselves of, that we've learned or been conditioned to in this society. So that's just my view on that.
Okay, so are you saying that then the problem is more supply and demand than actually us not supporting?
Yeah, supply and demand, but also we need to, it's our values. What do we value? There is a desperate need for infant schools, especially African-centered schools. I live in Orlando, and like I said, my two sons go to one. And there are two more opening up, and there's still just not enough because the schools are terrible. And there's such a need for us to educate our own children, because that's what we need to do. But we don't, and we've needed that for, well, ever since the push for integration, which, you know, should never happen that way. And so, things are just beginning worse and worse since, the late 60s and early 70s. So there is supply and demand. Like we're not supplying the things that we need. We don't go into those businesses. And from what I've seen is when we actually have an honest business and go into the things that we actually need, we do support each other. And so, but I've seen, just like everybody else, I've seen lots of businesses where people try to sell makeup and all kind of stuff that we don't really need. And, and we have to be honest about where we are right now, and not saying that we can't sell those things, but if we're going to grow the community, you have to handle the basis first, handle the basics, and so that we actually grow supplying and owning the basics of, for instance, like our black farmers are dwindling,
right.
But I particularly see to it that I buy my food every week from an I buy organic food, and I go to the local health food store, and I talk to them. I know the owners over there, and they say that, they know only one, maybe two actual black farmers in the area. You know, mm-hmm. one surprise, I think sweet potatoes, and another surprise, something else. But everybody, all the other ones are, you know, are white people. So, you know, we're not even doing the things that we need to be doing. A lot of times we don't want to do hard work, or I don't really know what it is, but we need to adjust our perspective, our mental frame, because that's really what I see is the problem. We think we can just sell anything, and just because you're black, I'm supposed to buy it. No, I need to have a use for what I'm buying. I mean, I'm struggling just like everybody else.
Right.
It's like Chinese people and white people are, and everybody's tight with their money, and they buy what they need. And they go to, or like Latinos down here, they have their own grocery stores all over the place here. I don't know if you've been to Florida, but they have them all over the place here in Florida. They're bodegas, and their food, they go to their own to buy their food.
Right.
It's essential. And so, you know how many jobs for the teenagers and just people in general, just that alone supplies, how many jobs that supplies for, just to stock the grocery store, load trucks, distribute the food, you know, all these things.
Right.
So it's the basics that we're missing, and our values are just all screwed up. We're worried about all the wrong things. You know, like I said, like sewing clothing or Avon or most of the ventures that I've seen haven't been things that we actually need. We need to build a community. You have to be able to feed yourself. You have to be able to clothe yourself.
Right.
You know, it's those essentials. You know, how many of us actually own a piece of land that grows cotton? You know, there's a reason why Calvin Klein and Levi Strauss, they can go years without selling a single pair of blue jeans, but it doesn't matter because everybody else buys their fabric from them because they own the cotton that everybody's shirts and jeans are made out of. And so that's the real difference that we, you know, and that's how I see it, you know, because I've heard this talked a lot, and I about crabs in a barrel, and I see it more of a analyzing the victim kind of thing. I think it's present, but I just don't think it's as prevalent as we think it is. You know, we attribute too many things to that, I think. And so,
so would you say maybe it has more with to do with demographics or location? You know, because there are some places where black businesses do thrive, like Atlanta, Maryland, D.C. You know, so would that add to it, or is that just...
No, I don't think so. I mean, even in places like Atlanta and D.C., I mean, there's very few black businesses that are actually fundamentally rooted in black capital. You know, there's most of Atlanta is just white businesses that hire black managers, and there's not anything wrong with that, but it's more most of what we see in Atlanta is there's more opportunity for black people in professional areas of the economy. You have some things like black doctors and lawyers that will thrive in Atlanta, but when it comes to the meat on the bone, you know, like I was saying, like actually owning land, growing food, supplying clothing and things like that, the the essentials. I have actual having distribution companies that distribute food and or trucking, shipping to the different grocery stores, any store, trucking gasoline for all the different gas stations. The things that that is the heartbeat of any economy, the economic bases. We don't have them. We don't own them in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And we have some stores. We have some restaurants. We have some really nice restaurants. There's a lot of thriving black doctors and lawyers because they have a lot of clientele because black people are getting a lot of jobs. But you have to remember, we need to be mindful that they can take that away from us at any time.
Now they
wouldn't be able to do that if we owned it.
Correct.
You know, and nobody can do that to you if you actually own it, but we don't. And so,
correct.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's what that is. Which we need. I think that's the fundamental thing we need to change.
Right, and that's my point exactly. I mean, if we own it, but even if we own it, we still need to support it regardless. In a lot of instances, we won't do that.
Well, if you go to Atlanta, people support support those businesses there, don't they?
Right. Yes. That's like I said, Washington, D.C., Maryland, Atlanta, places like that. Yes, they do get their support. But what about other places like Orlando, Jacksonville, you know, Tallahassee, you know, New Orleans, and so forth and so on?
And that's why I say you have to start with the basics. You have to, you have to start with the things that people need. You know, there aren't a whole lot of, like here in Florida, I mean, there's not a whole lot of Hispanic businesses, but Hispanic unemployment is a lot less, a lot lower than black unemployment here in Florida. But one thing that they will do is supply their basic needs. Their clothing, their food, and a lot with also Haitians as well in southern parts of Florida, and some communities of Haitians in southern parts of Florida, you'll find that as well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Caribbean people here, you know, if you looked at it from black America, regular African Americans and Caribbean Americans, like from Jamaica or wherever, mm-hmm. they actually do a little better than we do as well, because they even have, I mean, they come here and then they open up their own grocery stores. I mean, that's
right.
Actually where I shopped at Caribbean and Hispanic grocery stores. I mean, I don't discriminate. But
mm-hmm.
I shop at Caribbean grocery stores, you know, and it's they have their own stuff, and it's just amazing. Everybody else seems to get it, but us. I mean, I live right where I live. There's two Asian grocery stores from where I live, and I live in a predominantly black neighborhood, but probably within 3 miles there's two Asian grocery stores.
Wow.
Not black people shop there, but you know, mm-hmm. but the Asians put up a grocery store for them to buy their own food, and then there's
right.
probably another three or four Hispanic grocery stores,
mm-hmm.
and then there's two Caribbean markets.
Mm-hmm.
They're in their own by like Jamaicans or you know or somebody from the islands, but.
Mm-hmm.
So if people come here and other people come here and they get it, you know,
right.
you have to start with it. You have to start with the basics, you know,
mm-hmm.
but that's what we have to do. You can't, you're not just going to jump out there and be balling, you know,
right.
you know if we don't do that, then I mean, it's those basic things that, you know, allows us to be able to, I mean, like, for instance, the Chinese get it. which is why they're able to, and a lot of Asians, why they're, you know, 20 years ago, people laughed at the Japanese and the Koreans when they said they were going to compete in the American auto industry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're running it. But, you know, and I do business with Asians, with Chinese, and I have to call China and Taiwan often enough. And if you just look at how people are talking about how fast China's developing, they're not investing or putting all this energy into all of these gaudy or bling things or things that don't even matter. They're doing the things that people either forgot how to do, don't want to do anymore, all the hard work. I mean,
right.
You know, they're learning how to machine, like how to cut metals, how to cut wood, just all these little things. And then, you know what? Hey, if you know how to cut metal, the next thing you know, if you get a group of good engineers together, you can make a motor company. Now they're making cars. You know, it's these types of things that
start off.
Yeah, and we're not. We start out. It seems like every generation we're starting over from square one, and that's the problem. You know, and I've just recently found an actual black or African American machinist. As I'm an engineer, I recently found one here in Orlando, and so I'm gonna start sending work to him. You know, but I've been here for in Orlando for 7 years, and I lived in Pittsburgh before that,
okay.
And I have family in New York and in Ohio, so I've been around the U.S. a little bit, and but I've been here for 7 years. And I'm just now finding a black machinist that can skillfully cut metal.
Wow. Okay. So, what do you own your own business, sir?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a consulting firm, and I'm a product designer. I design products for various companies. I service different clients mostly around the United States, but I have a few clients in Europe as well. But I design electronics, but I do all kinds of technology design or technology products, I should say, and also in alternative energy and things like that. Whatever the client wants, you know, they're the boss.
Yeah, pretty much. So, being that you're on your own business, so you're speaking of actual experience, not just something you read or, you know, been told.
Yeah, I mean, I've had my own business since October of 2007. Mm-hmm. So, it's been over 4 years now, and you know, and being an engineer, when you design products, you have to source it. Like you don't build everything from scratch. You know, you're going to use parts and components that are already out there. Things are off the shelf, and you got to learn how to put things together, be creative. And, you know, so, yeah, I know from experience, like when I need to, or like another thing, plastics, when you're making plastics, everything is plastic, you know. Plastic on everything, dashboards for cars, every cell phone, every computer, it's just in everything, you know, plastics and shirts and it's just everything. And so I can't find a single black supplier for, you know, plastics, injection molding type stuff. When I had to, you know, get things cut, like metal cut for different products or parts,
right?
You know, just can't find any, you know, suppliers of different parts that I've needed, just non-existent. And so it's these little things that, you know, if there was one, then I could be feeding them and then they would grow. They would be helping me as well. And so as I grow, they would grow.
They would grow also, right.
Yeah.
So
and that's where it starts. That's where it starts, you know.
Exactly. You know, like I say, you know, we're supporting each other. As the old going on, one hand washes the other. Well, here's my question off the top of your head. What percentage of your business you say actually involves African Americans, whether it's using it, using your business, you know, to create something or?
Right now it's almost 0%. Most of my business comes from, I should say, white people, European Americans, or maybe of ongoing, most of my business, yeah, definitely is close to zero. I mean, have there been a couple? Yeah, but small and insignificant and compared to, the bulk of my income used to, you know, take care of my family, wife.
Right.
So, I would say close to zero.
Okay. So would you say part of the problem or the main problem is the ownership
of
Black Americans? African Americans owning their own business or property to where they, you know, need your services? Or it's just...
Well, just, I mean, it's a really... It's hard to say. I mean, it's a wide and expansive problem. That's why I think it's just the values. I think it comes back to values. What do people value? Because I don't know many people that want to actually say know how to say cut wood. Anytime I need to get wood cut, I mean, I know this one guy. I know a couple. There's only about three or four woodcutting shops in Orlando, and they're all by white guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one elder friend of mine. He cuts wood, but you know it's out of his backyard, and so you know he just has like some tools that he knows how to use. But he's not a business though, so it comes down to values. What do we value? I mean, I talk to so many people, kids that are, or I don't want to call them kids, but are young adults that are going to college or went to college or thinking about going to college, and you ask them, well, what are you going to study? And the things that they're choosing to study they're not going to learn anything practical that to even do anything, and because they just want to get a cushy job with some big corporation and get a fat salary, but then don't realize that all those benefits or perks that they think they're going to get, even if they are lucky enough to get it, they can be cut off at any moment.
Right.
Because they won't own anything. You have to know how to do something, you know?
Right.
Or at least own something where, you know,
it's interesting that you say that, because I remember when I was in what they call it middle school now, but junior high and high school, you know, we had thing classes, courses like wood shop, you know, things of that nature, you know, to help you get a feel of maybe this is what you want to do. But I think now a lot of schools don't even offer anything close to that, and that may be part of the issue. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, I mean things are getting less and less hands on. Yeah, you know we're getting less hands on, which is working knowledge, and that's what you need to have, because that's what when it comes down to making anything in this world, you got to put brick to mortar, and we're not doing that. And you even find that in college. I mean, even more and more in college, it's just more abstract and theoretical. And it's like, oh, geez, when are we ever going to, like, you know, do something, you know? And, well, I know a lot of kids are like that in college now, but, and that's, it's a growing concern. And a lot of times this makes me feel like I'm doing it on purpose. I want to dumb down America, or maybe it's just cheaper, right? Cause it is cheaper. Cause then you don't have to, you know, upkeep all those, you know, that hardware resources or whatever, but you pay the price later on because kids don't know how to do anything, you know, and they may have, you know, put their hands on something and realized, you know, I really like doing this.
Mm-hmm. You know? Right.
So, that's a big problem. I would say a huge problem. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I do thank you for your comments, sir, because you have, you know, really brought up some good points. And, you know, I hope you all out there listening understand what he's basically saying, you know, because he is on point with this. You know, it's about me, you know, and our priorities. And the question is, you know, how can we, are we going to change this? Or are we just going to continue? You know, and that's what I want. I want people to call in and give me their opinion and let me know if I'm on the right track. Because actually, I enjoyed that. No. So now we know there are some instances where it may be demographics or the area you're in just where you won't be able to find any. That's a possibility. So for those of us that actually own these businesses, you know, if we can find one every now and then, you know, put it out there. Go ahead and look and see if you can't find someone to help move on. You know, going to give that crab that extra push to get on out the barrel and be on its way. You know, as, you know, one hand washing the other, we helping each other. You know, like my caller just said, you know, the Indians and the Asians, they help each other. You know, they build one store here, they get together, and they build another store here. And it's what they need. You know, what they want. I wouldn't say want, but exactly what they need to survive. No, and he's right. You know, a lot of times we value more things like weave and nails and hair. You know, instead of, you know, groceries, you know, grocery stores right there in our neighborhood. Because a lot of us hooked on Walmart, Target, you know, Winn-Dixie, Publix, you know, stores like the Albertsons. And so that kind of defeats, you know, the purpose. But we also have to some kind of way improve our ownership level in this country. Now, between 2002-2007, it was great. It was a 60.5% increase of African-American-owned businesses. So it's not like it cannot be done. It's not. The problem is keeping it going once we get it started. You know, so if you're out there thinking about opening a business, maybe you need to sit back and when you do your business plan, to actually sit there and decide what is your nick going to be? What are you going to provide that is needed? Not wanted, but needed in the community. You know, some of you out there, I know people who's good with wood, metal, things like that. And there's people looking for them. You know, a lot of them probably have given up because of maybe where they live. But, you know, a little nudge never hurts. Little nudge never hurts. And that's all I'm asking for. You know, help. Let's help each other.
The more we help each other, the more successful we will be as a whole. Not just as a piece here, piece there, and, you know, a piece over here, piece back there, but as a whole. And if we can get a grip on some of this prosperity that's going on in America that we seem to be lagging in. So that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. And like I said, I mean, I know many of y'all out there, y'all remember having to take home ec in junior high, what they call it middle school now. Home ec, shop, art classes, you know, things like that. Stuff that where you use your hand, not just your hand, but your mind and math. You know, which comes in handy if you own your own construction company or firm to where you do a lot of measuring and stuff, engineering. No, but we don't, you know, we have gotten so off track now to where it's ballooning. And like you said, every generation we are starting over. So why do we have to start over? Why can't we just continue to go? You know, just back in the day where it's the trade passed from one generation to the other. There was no lag in between. If your father was a carpenter, you was a carpenter. You know why? Because he taught you as he was doing. So once he decided he didn't want to do it anymore, you already had the knowledge and the skill. So once your son got old enough to start learning, you begin to teach it to them. Well, somewhere within that process, there was a disconnect. And ever since that disconnect, there has always been a disconnect. And that may be part of the problem. Well, I know that's part of the problem. You know, because then we get other ideas that, you know, we want to go and be... best thing we want to do is play sports. No, or I want to go to business school. That's going to business school is fine, but what is your business going to be? Is it going to be something that's needed? Something that we need in our community? Or is it going to be something where there's a million of them going on? So you're out there listening and you're thinking about a business. That is something to think about. You know, what is your next going to be in the business world? And once you get that business, are you going to be able to actually help? You know, are you going to be willing to help someone else move on, further their business? There's just things that we need to think about sometimes. The only thing a lot of us say is, well, I want to open up a business and like my caller said, and now that I think about it, he had a very good point. You know, a lot of things we open up in the neighborhood, we really don't need. It's more of luxury. I mean, what, the latest jeans and the shirts and what have you? That's fine, but who really needs that? When you go to Goodwill or somewhere, no, not as expensive, and get just a plain pair of jeans that look just as good. No, and that's within our neighborhood. So if you are thinking about opening a business, think about that. Our neighborhood, you know, our neighborhoods need to be flourishing. No, and this goes for the young ladies also. Yes, the young ladies also. You know, your great-great-great-grandmother was a seamstress. You know, and then she passed it on to her daughter and passed on to her daughter. Well, just like in the case of the woodworking and stuff, somewhere there was a disconnect. A disconnect. And we need to go and try and reconnect what is going on. That's all. That's all. Yeah, and you'd be surprised how our the things in our community would change, the businesses would change, and how they'd be more successful. So basically what I'm saying, we have more crabs getting out of the pot. And it's, since so much of them are getting out, ain't nobody else trying to pull them back down because they're rolling out now. Everybody has something to do besides hate on each other. Like I say, this, once again, is my opinion. And my caller, I appreciate my caller for calling in today. Because he has some great points also. So now, it's just up to you. If that's what you want to do, you know, just be willing to help someone else move on as well. Don't keep all the success to yourself. And in our communities, you know, let's support them. I know some of us, you know, some of them just not going to do right, and some of us not going to do right. But overall, you know, they need the support and encouragement just like you do when you're at work. You know, if I own this, I would do so. Well, trying on it. You know, trying on it and see what happens. Or if you have a specific skill, like some of you out there working, you know, working as maybe insurance agents, working in tax offices, you know, that's things where you can open up your own business on that. And once you get in settled, start training somebody else to do the same thing. And next thing you know, it's spreading again with viable things that are needed. Not just what people want, but things that where people are needed. You know, and don't just stop there. Continue to go. And it'll be a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. Well, that's basically all I have on Crabs in the Barrel. But I do thank you for listening. But before I get out of here, I do want to talk about tomorrow, which is the 4th of July. You know, and the thing is, the 4th of July, I remember as a kid, it used to be special, you know, America's birthday, blah, 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 blah. But now it's just become basically another day. Have we got to the point now to where it's just a day off for some? A day where you shoot firecrackers and you barbecue outside, or you just chill out, you know, get drunk or what have you? Is that what it is? No, but I actually think it should be a day to where we once again sit back and think about the individuals that have given their lives over the course of this time period to make America what it is. I mean, it's fine to barbecue, you know, do the fireworks at night, but take some time tomorrow, you know, and take a moment, you know, of silence. Or if you know someone in the military or has been in the military, you know, give them, you know, call them and say thank you. You know, because without these people, you know, America wouldn't be what America is. Now, I know some of you say, well, that we have Memorial Day for and Veterans Day. Well, you know what? Every day should be a Memorial Day, especially every day should be Veterans Day. Because there are soldiers out there every day. While we're at home celebrating, there's some soldier out there on the battlefield now that's got to go out on patrol. They can't enjoy it like we can. But that's their job, and that they do it willingly. So while we're out there barbecuing and shooting off fireworks, let's think about that. Please. And to all my fellow veterans out there, thank you. The fellow soldiers, thank you. And, well, that's about it for today. Of course, there will be no show tomorrow with tomorrow being No, the 4th of July. However, I will be back Thursday with another show.
So once again, I am your host, Eric Jackson. I thank you for listening to Let's Talk. And I see you Thursday right here. I'm out of here.